Good morning. Scripture reading will be taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Again, that's Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Thank you, Connor. That verse was actually for me, not anyone else. But this morning, I appreciate the opportunity to stand before you here this morning. I appreciate the elders and their willingness to let some of us men speak here before you and to bring you the Word of God. And of course, as always, I encourage everyone to follow along in your Bible this morning. I don't have any of the verses on the PowerPoint today because most of it comes from the book of Proverbs. And you'll see why I want you to start exploring more of Proverbs as we go through this lesson. It's a good thing to do, and I think we should be able to see some of these verses for ourselves in our own Bibles. Appreciate the kind words from Dan and his overconfidence in me. So those were very good announcements, probably the best you'll hear this morning. As well as this sermon, probably being the best you'll hear this morning, as long as I preach till noon. So, have you ever broken anything? If you look at this, you might say, oh, he broke the projector again. No, that's not what that is. But the idea of something that's broken, can it be fixed? We might think, well, sometimes it can't be fixed. Sometimes it's completely broken and you just have to throw it out and start over. This morning, though, we want to talk about something that can be fixed. Something that no matter what happens, you don't throw it out. And I want to start by reading this quote from Rob Harbison. It says, most people are motivated either for good or bad, more from their emotions than their intellect. Not because emotion is stronger than intellect, but because such motivation is the easier of the two. The complexities of life are so great and the problems so heavy that the more we face them, the more mixed up we can become. Therefore, it is imperative to keep our hearts and emotions under control rather than being ruled by them. A lot of good statements in there. A lot of good things that I'm sure we can each take with us and apply to ourselves. So this morning I ask you, do you have a broken spirit? Hopefully most of us would say, no, we don't. We're going to look at a few things this morning as far as what is a broken spirit and what that means to us, and how we can fix it. So if you ask yourself, do you have a broken spirit? How do you know if you have a broken spirit? What does that do? I want to go back to Proverbs chapter 4. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. This goes back to the reference that Rob Harbison made. And in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." That took me a few times reading that to really understand, I think, what it means. Keep your heart with all vigilance. That requires that we do something, right? We have to work at something to keep our heart. Sounds like it requires maintenance on our part, right? Continually working to keep it, to protect it. Why do we need to protect it? Well, from it flows the springs of life. Springs of life, what does that mean? That's kind of, I guess, our motivation, right? Positive thinking. That's something we need to maintain. A lot of times, that doesn't come naturally for some people, right? Who here is a pessimist? Don't raise your hand. I'll raise your hand. I'll raise my hand for you. Sometimes we think the worst, right, in a situation that happens to us. We think the worst of what's going to happen and how that affects us. That's not maintaining our heart. That's not keeping our heart. That's stopping the flow of the springs of life. So how do you know if you have a broken spirit? Well, first of all, do you follow along in your Bible with the sermon? Do you follow along in your Bible during a Bible study? Do you follow along in your Bible during a scripture reading? If you said no to these things, well, then when do you study your Bible? When does that happen? Do you have a specific time? Some people have to be very organized with their time, and they have to schedule, okay, at 9:30, I'm going to study my Bible every day. Is that a bad thing? No, that's probably a good thing. So if you're not doing these things, you're probably not studying daily to show yourself approved unto God, right? Some people have the attitude, I can't be bothered. You know, that's the new saying right now. I just can't be bothered with whatever it is. We are busy though, right? We're very busy. Have we found time to fit God into our lives? That really shouldn't be the attitude, should it? God should be the priority. Do you attend all the services during the week? Do you attend the meetings that we have next week? It's coming up. Are we going to be here as much as we can? Do we go to the singings we have every couple months? Or do we say, well, every once in a while is good enough, right? That's good enough for God. I don't think that's what God has told us. So as we examine ourselves this morning, we want to look at what is a broken spirit. What does that mean? Again, most of us would probably say today that we don't have a broken spirit. But is it injured? Is there something wrong? Is there something that needs fixed? Something that needs repaired? A broken spirit can mean a range of different things. Anywhere from just, meh, I don't really feel like it today, I'm not in the mood. Or all the way to, I give up. I'm throwing in the towel. I can't do it anymore. How many people do we personally know that had a broken spirit and gave up on the Lord? We all probably know someone, right? Probably personally. What did they say right up to the point where they gave up? What did they tell themselves? Well, they probably said, I'm fine. I'll never give up on God. I don't have a problem. I'm a good Christian. We all tell ourselves that, right? They say, it will never happen to me. I'll never have a broken spirit. There's probably someone here today telling themselves that. That it won't happen to me. I won't give up on God. We all say that, right? But which one of us is going to be the next one that finally throws in the towel and gives up? Make up your mind today to say, that's not going to be me. And mean it. People get overwhelmed sometimes, right? And that's why they give up on things. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 17. I need to get moving or we're going to be here till midnight. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 22 says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. This is an example of giving up, a crushed spirit, where you get overwhelmed to the point where you say, I can't do it anymore. How many times do we do that in our day-to-day lives? Where something comes up and, you know, we get frustrated at work or frustrated at home or frustrated on a project that we started 3 years ago and it still isn't going well and we just want to throw in the towel, right? That happens. It happens to all of us. We all get overwhelmed. But what do we do about that? Do we do anything about it? Do we just accept the emotions and just deal with it? Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21 is an example of this. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. That's essentially a broken spirit. There's a fine line of being a father to discipline your children and do it correctly and then go too far and take it too far. That's what he's talking about here. We're trying to do our best, right, as parents? We're trying to discipline our children, make them do the right thing. And maybe we think they need some tough love now and then. However we manage to do that, sometimes we go too far. And it breaks the child's spirit. That's what he's talking about here. They get overwhelmed. It happens to everybody. And we have to acknowledge that, that it's possible for us to get overwhelmed. You know, we think a lot of times as Americans that we're strong and we can do anything and we have this attitude that no matter what happens, we'll get through it, right? That's a good attitude to have. But just to push through things doesn't always fix them, right? Sometimes we have to acknowledge some of the problems that we're dealing with. The second thing here is sometimes we feel like we can't help ourselves. If you have a broken spirit, that might happen to you. Let's look at Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 14. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14 says, a man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? When our spirit is broken, can we deal with it on our own? Maybe. Maybe. Not always. We'll get to that in a little bit. But most of the time, we try to fix it ourselves. But sometimes we feel like we can't. That brings me to the next point. Sometimes it's difficult to share things with others, right? We never want to admit that we're overwhelmed or we can't deal with something. We have too much pride, right? Let's look at chapter 14 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14 in verse 10. Proverbs 14 verse 10 says, the heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. And verse 13 also there says, even in laughter the heart may ache, and the end of joy may be grief. So what does that mean? That means that we have to tell people things sometimes, right? As much as the people around us, usually our spouse, thinks that we can read minds, it's still not possible. If you can, let me know. I need the secret. We can't read minds. We have to tell each other things. We have to communicate and tell people what's happening to us, right? Now, is this an opportunity when someone says, good morning, how are you? To lay out everything that you have? No, not really. There's a time and place for everything. But we have to realize that just keeping everything inside of us is not a good idea. It's not something that usually fixes the problem, right? And then the last thing here that describes a broken spirit is sometimes a person is difficult to cheer up. It's hard to do that sometimes on people, right? Somebody's in a bad mood. They're not having a good day. You try to cheer them up. It's not working. Right? I'm always cracking jokes at work. I know that's probably a surprise to you. But I try to cheer people up when they're having a bad day. Sometimes everybody around me is having a bad day for some reason. Maybe I'm just in a really good mood. I don't know. But I try to cheer people up. It doesn't always work. Right? They're just down and out, and there's nothing you can say to cheer them up. Let's look at chapter 25 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 20 says, whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on soda. Those two things are not good ideas, right? Why would you take your coat off when it's cold out? It's not something you normally do. He's telling us here that if you try to cheer someone up who has a heavy heart, it might not work. Right? It doesn't always work. That might be a sign that there's something wrong. There's something else going on. So this next part I want to look at, what can break a spirit? We've kind of established what a broken spirit is. The point where you've given up. You're overwhelmed. You can't take it anymore. You're throwing in the towel. You don't want to do it. You're stressed out, right? With stress, though, there's a lot of different levels of stress that we can deal with daily. It might start in the morning when you're worried about, what am I going to wear today? Does this match? Does this go with these shoes? Do I look ridiculous? Don't answer that. All the way up to, how am I going to pay my bills? We all have worried about that at one point or another in our lives, right? How am I going to pay my bills? And everything in between, all the things that we worry about on a daily basis is the stress that we deal with. A lot of times we put that stress on ourselves too, right? We do things that encourage stress. We take on too much and we think, yeah, I can do that. Sure, no problem. One of the things I've had to learn at work is how to say no. You know, you're always taught, don't tell your boss no, say yes, sir, right? But in today's society, if you say yes all the time, you just get more piled on you, right? You get more and more put on you. And they'll keep doing that until you get to a breaking point. There are management tactics that people are taught to do that, to use the people around you and use every little bit of energy that they have. They're a resource. You know, most companies look at people as resources. They want to get as much done as they can, right? And we have to realize that we have to manage our own stress. If we get stressed out and get overwhelmed at work, what do? We start freaking out on people, yelling at people and screaming at people. I hope not. That's what a lot of people do, though. If you've ever worked with someone that doesn't have it under control, you know what I'm talking about. So, the first thing I want to talk about of what can break a spirit is fear. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25. Proverbs 29 verse 25 says, "The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." How many fears do we have in our lives? I'm not talking about the spiders or the snakes. You know, we all have phobias of some sort or another, things we don't like. I'm talking about the fears that affect us in a deeper way. The fear of succeeding in life. The fear of being a good parent. The fear of being a good child. The fear of being a good Christian. The fear of not going to heaven. There's a lot of fears that we have in our lives. But most of the time, a fear is something that we just have to look at and analyze it and say, is this really a big deal? Should I be afraid of this? There are things that we should be afraid of. We should be afraid of not going to heaven. That's a healthy fear to have. Why? Why would you want us to be afraid? Well, it keeps us on the straight and narrow, right? If we don't have consequences, how would we live? God gave us consequences that are going to happen on Judgment Day. He's told us what's going to happen if we don't obey Him. Those are real consequences. Our society today is trying to avoid consequences at all costs. You've probably witnessed this before, probably several times in your life. One I witnessed recently was a YouTube video that I saw about Weight Watchers and how there were people in this group that were talking about their weight and how people made them fearful about their weight and they didn't even want to leave the house because they felt so bad, they were embarrassed, or whatever the reason was. They were so fearful, they wouldn't even leave the house. And they're trying to break down those fears. And their solution is, you're not responsible. It's not your fault. You don't have to take accountability for that. We can help you with that. And there's a host of things that they offer to solve your problem with weight, right? Are all of those healthy? No. Be careful. But my point is, our society is taking away the accountability that we have of ourselves. Churches are doing that around the world. They're saying that sin, it's not your fault. You're a victim of circumstance or whatever it is. Satan is getting the best of you. It's okay. Don't worry about it. That's not what God says. God says we are accountable for everything that we do. Right? That's probably not helping your fear right now, is it? But it's real. It's a real thing that we have to manage. We have to balance that fear and our lives. We have to figure that out. The next thing I want to talk about is anxiety. This level of stress that has escalated from a fear to an anxiety that we might have to deal with in our lives. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25. Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad." This is the kind of thing that you might deal with in your life that is very difficult for some people, but it's easy for others. That whole thing I talked about, just pushing through, right? A lot of people just push through the nerves when they get up here. And they do what they have to do, right? Just like I'm doing. I offered Dan to switch me with announcements. He refused. So here we are. But you push through some things, right? You just have to get through it. And you'll come out okay on the other side, right? You'll get through it. You got to think, you know, millions of people before me have done the exact same thing that I'm dealing with right now, and I'll get through it, whatever it is. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, right? People have dealt with the exact same problem you're dealing with before. And they probably had anxiety too. They were worried about things. It was weighing heavy on them. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. It's a real thing. It's not something we should ignore. And then over in Matthew chapter 6, let's look there. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where is our heart? What is our heart doing? Is our heart focused on good things? Is our heart focused on God? Or is our heart focused on the day-to-day things of this life and the anxieties that can bring us down and can control us if we're not careful? You know, if you're here today and you say, "I don't have a problem with anxiety," good for you. You're one of the few. Because I think almost all of us deal with some sort of anxiety probably every week. Maybe every day. Maybe every hour. It's something we have to manage. We have to figure that out. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 7. This tells us how to fix some of this. Let's start getting towards the fixing part of this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. How do we cast our anxieties on God? How do we do that? We have to know, right? He's telling us to do this. This is something we need to do. We have to do this. It's not really an option. He says, cast all your anxieties on him if you want to. No, he's telling us to do this. We have to do this. If we don't do this, we could become overwhelmed. Right? What happens with anxiety is if you just let it build up? It doesn't usually end well, right? It doesn't fix itself. We have to do something about it. And he's telling us, cast your anxieties on him. Cast your anxieties on God. Pray to him. Ask him to help you with that. Whatever it is. Even the littlest things that we deal with, if it's a problem to us, do that. Ask God to take care of it for us. Leave it in his hands. Right? We can't just do everything on our own. I don't have it on the screen, but let's look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 tells us the same thing. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything. Again, not really an option there to be anxious about some things and not others. He says, do not be anxious about anything. I brought this up in the invitation a week or so ago. Is this something we can really understand? Can we do this as Americans? To not be anxious about anything? Is that possible? I think it is. Why? Why would I say that? Well, because he tells us it is. That you can be anxious about anything. God wouldn't tell us to do something if we couldn't do it. It is possible to not be anxious about anything. Some people have mastered that. Some people in their lives have said, yeah, I'm not really worried about anything right now in my life. That's fantastic. That is great. Hold on to that. Don't let that go. For the rest of us, we're probably at a different level of worry about things, right? We might worry about things, again, once a week, once a day, once an hour, once a minute. What level are we at? We have to figure that out and say, I'm at a pretty high level of anxiety right now. I got a lot going on in my life. There's some things that need to be simplified, right? And that's possible. We can simplify things. We can pray to God. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's how we fix that. It sounds so easy, right? If it's easy, and we do it, it should work, right? You got to do it the right way, though. You have to do that the right way. Put your cares on God. And don't hold it in. If you've prayed about it, let it go. Don't hold on to it. Eventually, you're going to get an answer, right? God will answer us eventually. And whatever it is that we've asked him, just take care of that. He will answer us. Sometimes the answer is no. I can't take this away from you. I can't handle this for you. You have to figure this out. right? If we're struggling with some kind of sin in our life, and we pray to God and say, please help me stop this. And he doesn't. Then it's up to us. We have the responsibility. We have the accountability to take care of it. No one else can do that for us, right? No one else can say, I'll fix that for you. People can help us. But we all have free will. And we have to be the ones to work it out. Anxiety is closely tied to frustration. And what I mean that by that is a frustration that is normally just mismatched expectations. That we have different expectations than someone else. You know, when two people disagree on something, it's because their expectations don't match up. I thought you were taking the trash down to the curb. No, I thought you were taking it down. Well, the trash is going to wait for another week, isn't it? There was a communication breakdown. That was the problem. Communication can solve a lot of our problems, right? Talking to people around us. It can help relieve our anxieties too. If we can take the time to express some of our worries to someone, they might be able to help us with that. They might say, yeah, I dealt with that last week. Here's what I did to fix it. Is that always going to work for us? No, not always. But it's a starting place. Communicating with someone, that's going to help in a marriage, in a friendship, in all kinds of aspects of our lives. To just tell someone something. Again, they can't read your mind. No matter how hard we think they can't read your mind. And finally, the last level of this, of having a broken spirit, is depression. We don't like talking about depression, usually. It's kind of the end stage of this. It's a give-up attitude. You've thrown in the towel. You're done with it. When you mix those two things of maybe it's actual clinical depression that you could be diagnosed with, and you mix it with a give-up attitude, that can have disastrous effects. Proverbs chapter 15. Let's look there. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but the cheerful of heart has a continual feast. And then in verse 13 as well. It says, a glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is crushed. We all have bad days, right? We all have days where things aren't going right. Things aren't working out. And if we're not careful, it can turn into a bad attitude, right? And maybe we start taking things out on other people. We have a bad attitude and it escalates even further. And we have these anxieties that develop. And maybe it develops into a depression that no matter what you do, nothing's looking good. Nothing's looking up. Everything's bad. And you're just in a funk, or whatever you want to call it. This happens to people all the time. It can lead to serious problems, serious things, if you don't get it under control. People that can't control their depression and all of these things, and they eventually have a broken spirit, and they just give up. They start thinking about self-harm or suicide. They've completely given up. if you or someone you know has those type of thoughts, you need to tell someone and get help about that. Everyone gets overwhelmed at some point in their lives, right? But when it escalates to the point where you're thinking about ending your life, you need to reach out to someone to get help. We all know that murder is condemned in the Bible as sin. And if you end your own life, you obviously can't repent of that. There's no way to fix that. So no matter what happens, don't even think about that. There's always a way out of it. There's always a way to fix something, no matter what you are dealing with. You know, Steve talked about the man this morning in the Bible class about Otobanga. He dealt with terrible things, right? He was sold into slavery, kept in a cage for several years of his life, and finally ended his life. That's an example of a broken spirit, if I've ever heard one, right? How did it get to that point? You know, a lot of times we might think that things aren't fair, you know? Our life isn't fair. Things aren't going well. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30 says, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay.' And again, the Lord will judge his people." Don't let it get to the point where you're overwhelmed like that, where you think there's an impossibility here. I can't get out of this. God's going to take care of whatever you're dealing with, whatever injustice you've dealt with in your life. God's going to handle that. That's not for us to handle. That's not for us to take care of. God's going to handle that. Vengeance is his, not ours. That's his. So now that we're all depressed, let's lighten the mood a little bit. And I'll tell you an example of exactly this process that happened to me yesterday. As I was working on this PowerPoint, this very thing that you're seeing right here, I was 95% done with this thing, right? I'm putting the finishing touches on it, and as I normally do, I read something through, and I start adding things, taking things out, modifying things, editing it, right? It's not perfect. I want it better. So I keep fixing it and fixing it. Well, I got to the point where I was afraid this wasn't going to work out. I was afraid I couldn't finish it. Right? I started to get anxiety thinking about, I have to just do something else, right? This isn't working. And I finally got to the end stage of, I gave up. I said, you know what? We're not going to have a PowerPoint tomorrow. That's fine. No big deal. But then I thought about it, and I took a break, and I came back, and it's as good as it gets. So that's all you got. But we do that sometimes, right? Where we can't get out of our own head and think, I have to do this. I have to do it this way. I have to do this exactly the way I think it's supposed to be done. Some of the solutions that we have to put the pieces back together. And I'll go through these quickly. We have to trust in God. There's no way around it. The only way to fix some of these problems that we deal with is to trust in God. To trust that he's going to do what he's told us he's going to do. He's going to save us from our sins, and we're going to go to heaven if we live the right life. Wisdom. We need wisdom, right? Where can we find wisdom? The internet, right? No. Don't do it. There's some good things out there, but there's a lot more bad things out there. Things that you shouldn't be looking at, things that are false, things that don't make any sense. The flat earth thing, I just don't understand. But there's things out there that people believe. Where do we find wisdom? In the Bible, right? The book of Proverbs, I mean, we've touched less than 1% of the book of Proverbs this morning. And you can look at all these other verses here. I would encourage you to look at these verses again, to look at Proverbs, to help encourage you regularly, to gain some wisdom, right? What else helps us put the pieces back together? Hope, faith, love. No matter what you're dealing with, there's always hope. Always. No matter what has happened in your life. Look at Job. Job lost everything. Right? Everything that he had was gone. He still had hope. Did he do everything right? No. Do we always do everything right? No. But there's still hope, no matter what we do. A positive mental outlook. We have to have a positive mental outlook, right? If we have a bad attitude about something, it doesn't help the situation, especially when you're dealing with other people. How many people react positively to a bad attitude? Oh, you have a bad attitude. Good job. Oh, nobody wants to talk to you, right? Nobody wants to talk to you if you have a bad attitude. You have to fix that sometimes. And talking and listening to friends. This is going to help us to, again, express our problems that we have. Does everybody want to hear about all the problems you have? No. But you can definitely tell them about some of them. Absolutely you can. And they want to help you. Most people want to help you if you have a problem. They'll do their best to do whatever they can to help you out, right? So don't hold it inside. Tell someone about the problems you're having. And that will help put the pieces back together to fix the broken spirit. Again, if you don't have a broken spirit today, most of us hopefully do not. That's great. But are you on this path towards a broken spirit? Do you have fears and anxieties that are weighing down on you? You have to fix that. Why? Well, the last verse we'll look at is Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not as only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." We have to do that. We have to figure it out. It's our responsibility to work out our own salvation. We have to take the steps necessary to fix it. Whatever the problem is, whatever the sin is that we're dealing, we have to fix that. You need to fix that today. If you have sin in your life, don't keep doing it. Don't keep doing the same thing over and over. Fix it. Change it. Reach out for help if you need it. Do something about it to fix that broken spirit at whatever level you're at. Let's try to make our spirits better, right? That's what we're always trying to do, is to constantly improve ourselves. Whatever we need to do to make it better. If you have sin in your life, you need to repent of that now. If it's something you've done publicly, you can come to the front and we can pray with you and for you. If you need to become a Christian, we haven't really talked about that much. But that's the first step in this entire journey of life that you have to take on your own. You have to take that step. As the song says, it's only a step. It's one little thing that you do in the scheme of your entire life that's going to change it forever. It's not hard. It's easy. You can be baptized in like 5 minutes and have remission of all your sins. They're gone. Do that this morning. Do it right now while we stand and sing.